afternoon, everybody. So I'm a federal magistrate in Belgium. So we have the one federal prosecution office. We are, I think, more or less 28 federal magistrates, and 11 of them work on terrorism cases. So we do the terrorism cases, we do the financing of terrorism, and we do all the MLAT requests or letters of requests that come in from you all and that concerns that concern terrorism. They come to the Federal Prosecution Office too. I'm already glad that I heard this morning that working on the financing of terrorism is not that easy, because that is my experience too. I work now for 4 years at the Federal Prosecution Office. And so the big financing of terrorism cases, we didn't have them yet. But we try and we are looking for it, and I think it was another speaker who said we also have to look at the 200 viewers who are sent. I think this is important, and this is true certainly nowadays with the Islamic State. So how do we work? Okay, so financing of terrorism, money laundering. Maybe to specify, I work on financing of terrorism, I don't work on money laundering. So whenever we can't make the link with terrorism, it goes to a local prosecution office. So there they have more, the bigger amounts of money where we can't prove that it goes to a terrorist organization, that maybe we can prove that it concerns money laundering. So financing of terrorism was an English person who said it in another seminar, so that person plus money gives the act, whereas the money laundering, person plus act is the money. So for financing of terrorism, the origin can be legal or illegal. The purpose is illegal. It's to finance a terrorist or to finance a terrorist group. Money laundering origin is illegal. The purpose is legal, because you want to enter the money back in the regular economy. Just our articles are a terrorist law, dates from 2003. And there we have two articles with which we can work on the financing of terrorism. This is our Article 140 that speaks of the participation at any act of a terrorist group. And so it can be by supplying information or material resources, it can be by financing its activities in any way. So that is when we are dealing with a group, as it is nowadays more often with the Islamic State. So it is, we there have to prove that the person who sends the money knows that it will be used by somebody who takes part in the terrorist group, and then it is sufficient. But then we have the leading of the terrorist group, somebody who coordinates the collection of money could fall under the leadership, but the collectors in Belgium, we didn't find them yet, let me put it that way. And that's the one for the financing of an individual, so one person, lone wolf, who wants to commit an act, and you're financing that one, that's the Article 141. There again, I have to prove that the purpose of the money is to commit a terrorist act, and that the person who sends the money is aware of it, that it will be used for that. And then we have our money laundering. So for the money laundering, it's we only look at where the money comes from. We have one Article 105 with three under subjects there. It's we have to prove that the money can't be legal. So we don't have to prove where the money comes from, so we don't have to prove the crime that is underlying, but we have to prove that it just isn't possible that it's earned in a legal way. It is hard, I said, to work on the terrorist on the financing of terrorism cases, but I think it is necessary, as I heard here, because it can be used to destabilize a terrorist group or terrorist attackers. We can work as on it as an additional tool alongside the classical terrorism investigation. And that is what we normally always do. So whenever we are working in a terrorist case, we always verify the bank accounts, we check the names at the Western Union, at MoneyGram, did they send money to somebody? Did they receive money for somebody? As I had a case from a person whose brother is in Syria, and then I saw that we sent 500 euros to the Netherlands. So I said, let's see where it went to. And so I sent a letter of request to the Netherlands. And apparently it was the account of a young woman who just had been arrested at the Turkish border. She was on her way to Syria. So that was 500 euros. It's not a lot, and it didn't ring a bell when we saw it in the bank accounts, but it gave something. Or we can work on it as an alternative to terrorism investigation. I will come later on it, but that is really hard. So really start a financing of terrorist investigation. In generally, it ends up to be a money laundering investigation, and that is in the best of cases, because in the worst of cases, we don't have anything. And so we start on it, and we send it over to the local prosecution office, who can maybe work further on it. But it is, we have to work on it because it gives us a better understanding of terrorist networks. We see who is involved in the terrorist scene. It can identify financial means of the organizations. It can launch money laundering investigations. We can seize and confiscate illegal patrimony, but that we didn't do yet. We can deprive organizations of their means of functioning. So, as I say, we are working most of the time on the more little amounts. So I don't know if it really will deprive them, but in any way it can cause certain persons some difficulties to go further on. It can, for example, mean that they can't buy a car over there in Syria, or that they can't buy a weapon, or I don't know. It's in the little things, maybe that it's found, and we can sometimes prevent them from committing attacks. So, how do you work? So I said already that all terrorist cases are investigated at the Federal Prosecution Office. We work with specialized police officers, about 5 units, and it is also them who work on the financing of terrorism. It is not the same units, it are those specialized in financing, but it's of those 5 federal police units. We work with the 2 intelligence services, so state security services and general intelligence services, so from the army. In each terrorist case, we indicate them as technical assistants. And so that means that they have full access at our files. They also have full access at our intelligence. So they see the names, they see the phone numbers, they see the places that come in our files, and so they can look whether they have information on it and they can share it with us. And then we certainly work on the financing of terrorism with the financial intelligence unit. Also there, we can communicate them names, phone numbers, and they can ask their partners whether they have information on those persons, on those identities. And so they can also send us back information of their foreign colleagues, of foreign services, so that we have an image as broad as possible on the persons we are dealing with. And so in general, it is like this that we work. We have the incoming intelligence. Whenever that goes more like radicalization, or in case of the financing of terrorism, it will be more like money laundering, then it goes to the local prosecution office. And they work with all the federal police officers, the local police, also the intelligence services. They try to have more information on the case that we started. Whenever they are able to do it, they send through the file to the federal prosecution office. And then it goes into terrorism side. So the federal prosecution office, we work with the specialized federal police officers, and there's a terrorist investigation. Exception there is made for all the notifications we get from the financial intelligence unit that may concern the financing of terrorism. They first come to the federal prosecution office, and then we ask to the specialized federal police whether they can context actualize the notification, so whether they have more information about the persons that are mentioned in that notification. And when we can link it to a terrorist file, or that we think we can really work on it separately, we keep it at the federal prosecution office. Otherwise, it is sent to the local prosecution office, and they continue to work on it. Maybe at the site of the money laundering, whenever there are suspicious transactions, but not really immediately terrorist financing. And so the way we are working on cases is also for the financing cases. In the real world, so the wiretapping, the communication, traffic data, informants, interrogations. Sometimes people tell something in an interrogation whenever they receive money, or we always look at the bank records, the flight records, where did they go to try and follow their ways. We have the surveillance and infiltration, house searches. And then in the online world, we have a communication interception, communication of traffic data, social media analysis, certainly the open sourcing, also surveillance and infiltration, seize computers and data. That's a really important one. It takes a lot of time to exploit everything that is in it. That in general takes a couple of months to go through all the files and in the CIS computers. And so, yeah, in the real world, we have the borders. In the online world, we also have the borders. Terrorists, they don't, but we do. And so there may be a little work on the MLA requests. So in general, we are often confronted to the to the inquiry that has been done, that has to be done abroad. We don't always send the letters of requests. It depends a little bit on the country we are working with. I don't know how it works for you, but in the latest time, we don't receive any answers anymore from certain countries where we have a lot to deal with. But in general, So the challenges I put them on is the point of contact. Sometimes when my question is not immediately located somewhere, it takes a lot of time before it is sent to a specific prosecution office, or when I have to be at several points in the country, I have to make up 5 letters of requests for the different points. Then, yeah, the speed, it's the work of making the letter of request. It is the translation, and then it's between the costs. So it is always see whether it's worth going through the MLA requests. And when we see that in a file we have a lot of letters of request to send, in general we establish a joint investigation team. So that we saw after the Paris attacks, of course, a joint investigation team immediately with France. After the attacks in Brussels, we had a joint investigation team immediately with the United States, which worked really good. It was not that easy to establish it because of their completely different system of law. So it's worth doing it, and it goes much quicker once you have a joint investigation team and all the information is shared from one country to another. So that was and that's a mean that is used also more and more often, that is the spontaneous exchange of information. So that is not when I want the information from another country, that when out of my financial investigation comes out something that happens abroad, that happens in France or Germany, or then I can send the information simply without any formal requirements. I just say that it's in the way of Article 7, and so they know it can be used, and so they are not obliged to work on it, but it's information that we get. And I think we have to work more and more on that basis, because it's that international, and as I see with the Islamic State, it's all of Europe that is involved. And when we see in my files, I see that the Flemish-speaking Belgians are more often with the people from Holland. The French-speaking Belgians are often with the French. And so we have a lot of information about people coming from other countries. So it's really interesting to share all that that information that we receive in that way. We also see on the pictures that we sometimes find when we seize computers and cell phones, that they are posing with that one. And that, so it's important. It can indicate where they are, or maybe they are coming back, or such kind of things. And then I put some examples of the of terrorism financing cases. As I told, we in every nearly every terrorist case we work on that on the financial side, because it's when we can't seize the money or we can't freeze assets, it can lead us somewhere. We can see with whom they are in contact. And so it can lead us to friends, to family who help them. And that is what we also did in the Brussels attack case, in the Paris attacks case. So to always get further and further. Did they need too much money? In fact, not that much, but they needed money because they needed false identity papers. They rented apartments, they rented cars. They stayed for months in Belgium, so they have to eat, they have to live from something. And as in Belgium it is, we try to, as soon as we know that somebody left for Syria, we try to cut them from every money source that they would be able to get still in Belgium. So we, how do you say it? They are barred from their address, so they don't have an address in Belgium anymore because they don't live there anymore. They live in Syria or they live in Iraq, and so they can't. They aren't able to have the unemployment fees or the. It's not disabled, but when you can't work anymore. So the fees that normally you can't have, you have right on when you stay in Belgium, so they don't have that anymore. But because we see, they tried. We saw in a file there was a guy who left for Syria, and at home he left his unemployment cards where they have to get stamps on it. And it was there left, and it was already signed for a whole year. And then it was the sister who went to collect the money and then send it over to Syria. So those are cases that we see. Is it the real financing of terrorism cases? But it are the little things that help. So here, examples of terrorism financing cases. I put so, because I read about it, but I never crossed upon it in a file. It's the investment of cash money in real estates by people known for terrorism financing activities. Non-profit organizations collecting money from supporters and then sending the funds abroad. That we see, but then it goes further because the abroad in general is Turkey. And then we are blocked over there because on the non-profit organization then puts pictures on their website from them distributing covers and food to the Syrian victims. And so to me, to prove that it is for a terrorist purpose, I tried, but I didn't have a conviction yet. It is so difficult to follow the money once it is over there. We can follow it up to there, but then it blocks. So what we try to do is to work on the non-profit organizations because often they are not following the regulation on non-profit organizations, and we try to make that they can't exist anymore. But that's then the local prosecution office again that works. In that way, many cases with only small amounts that we have, and more because there we are working on, and I will show how we do it. Many cases about so social benefits we don't in cash, as I say, so like the unemployment fees, use of money remittance system to send money abroad. That we see also. We still see it now, so via Western Union and MoneyGram. It is more and more replaced by cash couriers, so the persons who come and collect the money. And it is what I hear. It is sometimes what I read in interrogations. But it's not easy to identify the one who collect the money and who live with it. And then there's the transportation of cash. But there again, there was a Belgian case, not too old, where there was a conviction, but it was a conviction on money laundering. And we saw two people, one Libyan and one from Lebanon and one from Syria. And they both had in their suitcases a whole lot of money. And it was covered, so they didn't declare it to the customs, and it was for an amount of 900,000 euros. And so the money was seized, and the local prosecution office started to work on it because there were links to Hezbollah, but it were only links, and so a rogatory letter was sent to Lebanon. But there wasn't immediately an answer. And what we saw, there was the people, they said that they came here to buy cars, but they didn't find any, and so they were returning back. So the police officers, they questioned them about their knowledge on cars, and it was really poor. And then it started, yes, but it is the first time that I am coming to buy cars, and so, and it is on that basis, then on money laundering, that they were convicted, that the money was seized, confiscated, and that they had the penalties. I think their board had something like 2 years. But it could have been a financing of terrorism case, but it was too hard to prove. And then we could work with the money laundering. There's also a case, and I think it still happens, but now it goes directly to the local prosecution office, because I tried to work on it, but it was too difficult. We receive information that that certain persons are linked to terrorist organization, that is, so it's information, and it's no more than that, it's no proof. And we see that they come in with money, but they declare it to customs, and they say, I have a whole lot of money here with me. And they also have a letter from a non-profit organization in Germany, humanitarian, but in Germany also known for having links with. And they are traveling to Burkina Faso, Togo, Mali, and it is to help building water reservoirs or to help building mosques. I don't see myself sending a rogatory letter there to check whether the money will effectively be used for that. And we didn't have enough information on the non-profit organization. Yes, it was linked to terrorism, and so we thought, and it was maybe that, but it's not enough proof for a court. And so I, there was one we couldn't get along with, and I know that in Brussels they kept on working for it, because the people came on coming. So when this slide was made, so we were already at a larger amount, and it is seized for a certain period, the money, but when they ask it back, we don't have much to say when we don't prosecute them. So what we try now, and that's an easier one, but it is it's all more little amounts of money, and we started it mainly thanks to France and the Netherlands for their spontaneous exchange. What we see in those with those people from Islamic State, that is that so we have a lot of foreign fighters, Belgian foreign fighters in Syria and Iraq, and so we see that quite a lot of money, but little amounts, between 50 euro and 500 euro, is sent to persons in Turkey and Lebanon. Those Belgians who send the money, they aren't linked between them. But in general, they are linked to a family member who is over in Syria or in Iraq. And then we know that the collectors, they send it then to the Islamic State, or that is what we suppose, because we got a whole lot of names of collectors too. And you see they receive money from all over Europe. And they are in general situated so near to the border. And they only receive money from persons linked to a foreign fighter. We also saw already that, not for Belgium, but for other countries, that so we are aware that it exists, that Islamic State sends money via the collectors to people in Belgium. And that's more worrying, because maybe it is to be able to leave for Syria, but it can also be used for something else. So there we have our information from reactive cases, so the terrorism cases where we do financial investigations in. We have a lot of information from our financial intelligence unit. sometimes from other reactive cases, but sometimes also out of own initiative that they send us information. We have a lot of confidential reports from the police, and then we have some other countries who send us money. Sometimes it's unofficially, but then we know, okay, we are on the right track. Sometimes it's really officially, everything can be used, so we can start working on it. And so what we try to do with it is to reduce the cash flows, but it also helps us to, sometimes we see people who send money to Syria and we don't see who they are linked to. So those are really interesting for us too, because from the beginning of, we started to, whenever we knew that somebody left for Syria, we started a file on them, so to follow them and to see what they were doing. But sometimes somebody left and so we don't know it, and so in that way it is important for us. It also gives us confirmation that a certain person is still alive, because we from time to time we get information that somebody is killed. But it is not always true. Even if the family was informed, and even if they sent pictures out of Syria where you see the dead body, it is not always true. We had Abdelhamid Abaoud, who was supposed to be dead, but he wasn't. And then we try to collect information by that way too. If a foreign fighter wants to go home, or has the intention of coming home, because what we see too is that that is information that we get from parents, that is that they take contact and they ask for bigger amounts of money, and then it's more or less like 10,000 euros, and they say that it's to pay the smugglers to be able to come home. We saw already too that the money was sent, but they don't come home. So sometimes it's just to have money, but then we have the bigger amount. But sometimes it really is. There are quite a lot of fighters, I think, luckily, who are a bit fed up with the situation over there, and who want to come back. And so it is. We are able to identify sympathizers. Potential plans of terrorist attacks whenever we would see that money is coming back, that money is sent from Syria to us. So what we started now is a plan, so whenever we see transactions from a Belgian to somebody in Turkey or in Lebanon, because that are really the places where those collectors are, then there's a special minutes drawn up, and we send that to our financial intelligence unit, who starts working immediately on the Belgian person who sent the money, but also on the collector. And that gives us four kinds of information. That is that the money collector received money from other persons and X. So then we can start working on other Belgians who are linked to a foreign fighter. Maybe yes, or maybe it will give us another foreign fighter. It can also be that the collector receives also money from people abroad, from people from France, from people from Bulgaria. And then we send the information to the other country, spontaneous exchange. I'm going too quickly. Or I don't have any time anymore. I was here. This one is when we see that the money collector sends money to people in Belgium. I think that it's a big alert, because that's really alarming. And it can also be that we see that X our person in Belgium sends to other collectors. And then we can identify them, and we send those identities to Europol. What we see up to now is we already have, so we started working on the persons that send money, but that we can't link to a foreign fighter. But then they say, for example, like, yes, but I send money to that person, that's right, but it was to help the Syrian victims. And it's a benefit. And we know it isn't true, because that person only collects money from family members and friends of foreign fighters. But up to now, we weren't able to prove, so we are looking further in family members. But as France told us already, sometimes they send money for the neighbors, or it can be for friends who live a street further on. So it's not that easy. But we also have already had Belgians who sent to 10 collectors. So there we really see they are financing their son or their family member, and so it is really the financing of terrorism. What is interesting in this too is that the spontaneous exchange also works with the convictions, with the sentences. I received already sentences from Holland, and I received from England. And so it really is interesting, because I see in England it was a couple who sent money to a person where my Belgians sent money to also. And they were convicted for financing of terrorism, because they had a nephew living in Syria. And so they said it was for his studies. But their phones and their computers showed enough that they really knew what he was doing over there, and that he wasn't studying in Syria. So he had been convicted. And so that is also a way we should work together, because it can convince our courts that we show them the way it works. Because as I say, out of Turkey, we don't receive that many answers anymore. But, and I think that was the latest.